trust the Lord and not in the banks. And what the Lord gave me in this, he said the stock market and the banks are like the World Trade Center. They were there on September 10th. They were huge. They were gigantic. On September 11th, they're gone. Who'd ever think that? Well, Lehman Brothers and all these big banks, they were like the Twin Towers. They're gone. People that thought they could just trust in them and invest in them and there'd be retirement money and we'd live happily ever after, they're gone. This whole system is coming down and it's under judgment from God. You can say amen. And as an American, I can relate in scriptures to where it says a prophet is not without honor, and I'm not claiming I'm a prophet, I'm just giving a message that I believe is based on the prophetic word. And it's not like, you know, you don't want to invite me to a party because I'll throw a wet blanket on it, you know. Noah would invite me, right? But just take us back to August of 1939, and we have a clear understanding of what Hitler's doing, and we have a clear understanding of his agenda. And he's talking peace, but we see his army moving towards Poland. He's talking peace, but we know what he's doing to the Jewish people and what he says he's going to do. And we know what he's doing in Germany and Austria. And we know how he gobbled up the Sudetenland and all that. And if I was telling you, like, don't worry about your vacation right now in the Alps. Or don't worry about, it's time to get your focus off the German stock market and your retirement in 1948 or whatever. Look what's happening right now. We're about to go into World War II. The Germans are on the move. Hitler's on the move. See, that's reality, right? It's not like it's August 14th and I'm going to go to the Alps for a vacation. When Hitler's moving his entire army, all the tanks and all that are going to the Polish border, and he's telling them, he's trumping it up. Trumped up charges that the Poles are violating the border, a blind man can see what he's going to do. It's the same today, folks. It's like the war started September 1st, 1939. It's like August 21st now. It's just days before ominous things are breaking. In fact, they're breaking loose right in front of our eyes. So come to reality. Do I hear an amen? Okay? And I'm exhorting you, because this is the authority of God's Word. We're seeing His Word come to pass. Now, Joan talked about the economy. But I want to take you back. Like, it's unraveling right now in front of us. And what she was talking about, I don't think she mentioned this. She may have mentioned this. But what I have told people is we are now under fascism. Do you understand? There's been a coup. And they got velvet gloves on right now. But fascism is when the government controls really everything. It's a little different. It's different than communism. And I don't want to get into technical aspects now. But we're not really under communism. We're under fascism. Hitler would love this, what he sees going on. Mussolini would love this. There's like a coup taking place right in front of our eyes. We're like deer in the headlights, the Americans, right now. Congress says we don't know what to do. I mean, it's mind-boggling sitting prophetically and watch this. But I want to take you back to where we are right now and think it just didn't happen in September because there were economic upheaval like in August, remember? And then there was economic upheaval in June. The dollar was collapsing, oil was soaring, the stock market was crashing. And then if you go back, it was happening in May, it was happening in March, it was happening in January. And I'm doing this on purpose to lead you back. And the government was saying, well, we're going to put... And I laugh when I go back and I look in 2007 and early 2008. Well, we're going to put $35 billion in. And we're going to put $15 billion in here, the Federal Reserve. And we're going to put, $65. That's chicken feed to what's going on now. It's like we'll probably be heading into the trillions before this is all over. So when we come back, there's a starting point to all this. Because in 2007, hey, the stock market was going up. It was fat city. Everybody was happy. We go all the ways back. And by the way, what I'm going to share now, I have a blog. It's called John McTernan's Insights, and it's at www.johnmcternan.name. And when my book ends, the blog picks up. So you can read the book. Of course, the book has to end. It's published. But the blog then picks up and brings it current. Folks, we're watching real time. I've been on Noah's radio station two or three times a year for the last 10 years, maybe more. I mean, I've been probably 30 times on there. And Noah would have me on for updates. In fact, my first book, God's Final Warning to America, Noah, what was it, about 100,000 copies we sold through you? And he'd ask me, well, what's going on? And I'd say, well, Noah, 6 months ago this happened. Well, 3 months ago that happened. Now it's real time. It's happening on top of us. And it's coming faster and faster and faster. So you can go on my blog, and I try and... it's so overwhelming, it's hard for me to have enough time to try and keep this up. So what I'm telling you is on my blog now. So we go back in time, and we go to July 20th, 2007, and that's the very day the subprime mortgage exploded. The day before it, the stock market reached its all-time high. That's a Friday, the subprime exploded. Everybody got scared over the weekend, and when you look at the stock market, it went in convulsions starting that Monday, and it was up and down, and the Fed was pouring money in, and it was up and down, and finally in November, it went to its all-time high, and it was all artificial, and since November, the market has just, it's like a bouncing ball, just down and down, and you know, now they poured money in, and everybody's going to, they think they're going to live happily. No, you're going to see that the Lord's judgment is on the economy, and I don't care what they do, they're not going to revive this. God's will is going to come through this. So we come back all the ways to July of 2000, July 20th, and that's when this starts. That's the very day. And I've got it on my blog. You can see it for yourself. But look what happened. On Friday, the market starts unraveling. On Monday, President Bush gives a speech. And I follow this all the time. I mean, this is what the Lord's called me to do. I'm a news junkie. Anything about Israel, I'm on it like a, what's that expression, like a chicken on a bug. I mean, I watch it. I've got all sorts of news sites, and I watch it. Now, here's President Bush. In fact, if you go to my blog, I got a link to it. You can go to the president's website and read it yourself. This is what the president said. More than 5 years ago, and the setting for this is for months, he was quiet about Israel. There was nothing. He wasn't saying anything. And all of a sudden, his speech, as I study it, came out of the blue, which made it very strange to me. But this is what he says. More than 5 years ago, I became the first president to call for the creation of a Palestinian state in the Rose Garden. I said that the Palestinians should not have to live in poverty and occupation. I said the Israelis should not have to live in terror and violence. And I laid out a new vision for a future, two democratic states, Israel and Palestine, living side by side in peace and security. Well, I think he's delusional. I mean, how else can you say it? All right, you know, you could say when they started in 2000, of course it violates God's word and all, but in 1991 you could say, well, you know, but now in 2007, the man's delusional. He really is, with Hamas and Hezbollah and all the terrorism and suicide bombings. And, you know, Israel gives them, literally just pulls out and gives them Gaza. Hamas takes over, voted in by the Palestinians, and they shell thousands of missiles into Israel. And he makes a statement like this. He's delusional. That's the best thing to say, best I could say. Then these negotiations must resolve difficult questions upheld by clear principles that must ensure that Israel is secure. They must guarantee that a Palestinian state is viable and contiguous. You know what that means? That means that there's to be a corridor from the West Bank, which in the Bible is Judea and Samaria, to Gaza that belongs to the Palestinians. They're going to divide Israel in two so the Palestinians can have a contiguous state. I mean, he's flying right in the face of God's word. Amen. And they must lead to territorial settlements with mutually agreed borders, a permanent end to the conflict, and agreement on all issues, including refugees and, let me hear this, Jerusalem. He said they must come to a conclusion about Jerusalem. You know what that means? That's a code word where Jerusalem has to be divided, and East Jerusalem is the capital of the Palestinian state. What does Zechariah chapters 12, 13, and 14 say about that? God's going to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. God will defend Jerusalem. Joel chapter 3, verse 2 says God's going to judge the nations that divide his land. There's no understanding of God's word with the man. I don't know, his advisors, they're probably, if they believe at all, or if they have any understanding, they're probably replacement theology. They're looking at Israel as any other nation. Jerusalem is like Paris. Jerusalem is like London. Jerusalem is like Moscow. Hey, and for political purposes, let's just cut it up. So God's word is irrelevant to him, but it's not to God. Amen? So you think the Lord says, well, this is the United States of America, and they have a president, not only him, and I'm not Republican or Democrat in this, because I could say quite a few things about Bill Clinton. He really took us down the same path in 2007 with the Camp David Accords, and we could say the same thing about his father, so we got Republican, Democrat, Republican. Do you think the Lord says, well, this is the United States of America, and my word says, if you tamper with Jerusalem, I'll destroy any nation but America? See, that's how serious it is, folks. And it's hard for us as Americans to see that we're in God's crosshairs. It's hard. I understand that. But we got to take it away from the emotions of being an American, and we got to look at God's word. We're in his crosshairs for judgment. That's one reason why I wrote this book, because I've got dozens and dozens of these same day occurrences when we're interfering with his prophetic plan, all those disasters hit. So now we come here and the president says these things. It's July 16th, 2007. Israel has a clear path. Prime Minister Olmert must continue to release Palestinian tax revenues to the government of Prime Minister Fayyad. Prime Minister Olmert also has made clear that Israel's future lies in developing areas like the Negev and Galilee, not continuing occupation of the West Bank. When I heard that, the hair went up on the back of my head. Who is the president of the United States to tell the Israelis, with what the Bible says backing them up, that you forget the West Bank? Now, that in the scriptures, that's Judea and Samaria. And I want you to read Ezekiel 36 about the mountains of Israel. The mountains of Israel are almost entirely in the West Bank. And God says that you will be occupied, talking about to the Jewish people. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to call you back from the nations. You will build cities here. Your trees and your crops will flourish. So God's word says that you will be under Israeli control, Jewish control, and George Bush is saying you won't be. Does everybody see that? He's taken us into a headlong confrontation with the God of Israel over the land of Israel and all the scriptures that talk about judgment and not continuing the occupation of the West Bank. He won't recognize Judea and Samaria and the mountains of Israel as being covenant land that belongs to the Jewish people. He calls it occupation. At the same time, Israel should find other practical ways to reduce their footprint without reducing their security. That means the footprint on the land. There's other ways. He wants them off the land so it won't affect their security. That was Monday, July 16th, 2007. So I'm watching this very closely. I watched the stock market. Nothing happened. I was looking for earthquakes, tornadoes, because that's what happens. Nothing happens. The stock market's going up. Thursday, at that point, it reaches its all-time high. And then Friday, the subprime hits. And we have been in economic chaos since. And if you go to my blog, and this ties into what Joan is saying, each time you see chaos in the market, because in the economy, well, it's actually the banks, the market, the whole thing. If you study it, and you go back to July, as I pinpoint here, as the market will go, the economy will go along okay, and then Bush, like in January, goes over to Israel for the purpose of dividing the land, and the economy blows apart. Do you remember when he came back, he had to have the economic stimulus package? If you can think back that far, the first thing he did when he came back from Israel is he had to go to the economic stimulus package because our economy was blowing apart while he's over there pressuring the Jews to divide the land. And then you'll see, like, things calm down after that. And then in March, Condoleezza Rice goes over, and all of a sudden, the stock market crashes. And I'm documenting. You can see it. She's over there. This happens. He's over there. That's happened. Other things are happening. Massive tornado breaks are happening. Hurricanes are happening. I mean, it's being poured on America now. Hurricane Gustav is connected with this. Tropical Storm Fay is connected with this. Hurricane Ike is connected with this. But the main thread through this is the economy. And each time we've got this, the subprime with Bush's speech, and then it takes a drop and it stabilizes. Then we have the Annapolis Accords in November, and it stabilizes. Then he goes there in January, and the economy's going like this, and he comes back and it stabilizes. All the way down, it's connected to what we're doing to Israel. We're under judgment, folks. And I've talked to pastors about it. And I was in Houston in July, and I talked to a pastor, and his wife received it. But he gets this glazed over look. And I'm telling, pastor, lead your church into repentance. This is time. Lead your... He wouldn't do it. Pastor, call prayer and fasting. This is like Joel chapter 2. You know, the army, the northern army's coming. Well, the northern army, like, is on the way to America. See, we violated his word. And I'm not even talking about what we're doing with homosexuality. That's gasoline on the fire. And I'm not even talking about abortion, because many of these things are occurring simultaneously. You see, and the church, God used us. Remember how I started, how we were used mightily by the Lord to advance his prophetic plan with Israel? Well, why not the same thing now, folks? Do we want to run for the tall grass and just say, Lord, you know, come tomorrow for us and take us out of this? And I'm looking for the blessed hope. I don't know when the Lord's coming, but I want to run to the battle. I don't want... what she showed up here is fascism, folks. And you mightn't think that Bernanke and all them are fascist like in Europe in the 1920s and 30s. Trust me, they are. These are diabolical people that will do anything for money and power. And right now they have velvet gloves on. But when they're in full power, those gloves are coming off. And you're going to do what they tell you to do. Except I'm not. I'm going to do what the Lord says. But this is the time for the church. This might be our finest hour as a witness to the people. Telling them these things. Preaching Christ's second coming. This is not a time to be fearful. And I do sometimes, I get anxiety. I can feel it coming. And I say, Lord, get me back on your second coming. Get me focused on Christ's coming and being with him. And a great peace comes over me. So we have to live on one side with the blessed hope, and on the other side to realize the prophetic hour that we're in. And folks, we're blessed. We see literally God fulfilling his word with the United States. As we blessed the Jews and Israel, we were blessed above all people. And the blessings I can only touch upon here. I've got them fully lined out in the book. As we interfered with his prophetic plan, look what's come upon us. Look what's come upon us economically. So what I see happening, and I just want to tie this in with what Joan said, as the United States interferes with his prophetic plan, but it's not only us. I mean, the European Union is behind this. We're the leaders in this. Russia is behind it. The United Nations is behind it. The nations are being ushered in economically to what Joan just showed you. I'm showing you prophetically how the timing as it's surrounding Israel. So as the nations are in disobedience, as George Bush will not honor God's word, as I can't even think of the names now. I don't even know anymore. Who's ever ahead of England and France? They all mock God's word. All these Muslim countries, they mock God's word. Putin mocks God's word. See, they're being herded into this in judgment. Do you see it? As the nations are demanding that Israel be divided, they won't honor God's word. As they demand Jerusalem be divided, God's arranging judgment for them. And they're being herded economically into what I believe is going to end up to the 666 system. And that system, if you don't trust God, that system will herd you right into it, and what the Bible talks about is the result of it. Do you see it now? The disobedience, God's setting up judgment for them. Of course, the devil is the one that's doing it, and God's going to use it and herd them into it. I look at like the American economy, it's like a gigantic balloon this big that's built not by the Lord, but by corruption and greed, right? And easy money, stealing, lying that homes aren't worth as much as, and saying it's worth more, getting mortgages when people know they can't pay it back, and banks giving them mortgages knowing that, that's all dishonesty. So here you've got this gigantic, big balloon, and then God's letting air out of it at His timing. As there's disobedience, as we're interfering with His prophetic plan, He's got His hand like at the bottom of the balloon, He's letting air out. And the balloon makes these gigantic convulsions. And that's what's happening. God's using this corrupt system now in judgment. He's the master chess player, folks. Economies, world economies, nations, rulers, they're nothing to Him. Nothing. He removes Franklin Roosevelt, who won't obey His word, and He puts Harry Truman in, who will, to fulfill His prophetic word. So these are exciting times. Exciting times. And I can hear stomachs growling. No, it's mine. I want to say it again. Don't run for the tall grass. Don't trust the stock market or the banks. Trust in the Lord. Ask Him what to do, where to go, what to do with your finances. I'm not a financial advisor, but it's pretty clear to me to get out of all the debt you can, to get out of debt, and to get some real assets, you know, real. But don't run for the tall grass. Run to the battle. Ask the Lord for doors to witness. Be bold. I have a track here. It's based on my book. It's called Israel, the Promise Kept, and it's just out. And it's really, if you can boil the book down to a track, that's what I did. So I have them in the back. If you buy a book, just take them. They're next to my book. And then I have a track here that I'm getting great response from. It's called The Bible Versus the Koran. And I've debated many of Islam's apologists. And I had to study the Koran, and I don't recommend it for anybody. Whew. Anyways, as I studied the Koran, I found specific references in the Koran against our faith. You know, and what I do is I lay this out in here so you can understand. You've got meat that you can get grounded, that why Islam is irreconcilable to the scriptures. And I have actual quotes from the Koran here. These are great for all Christians to get grounded in, and they're pretty good to give to the Muslims too, to confront them, because there's no way you can blend Allah with the God of Israel. So I see Noah creeping up slowly. I've called you the Grim Reaper in the past, haven't I, Noah? I caught you out of the corner of my eye. You know, I want to leave everybody blessed with the second coming of Christ. So on one hand, we're looking for the Lord's coming. On the other hand, we're running to the battle. We're being a witness for Him. Stay close with Israel and the Jewish people. Stay, because God wants a people that will be close to His people Israel during this. Be a comfort to them. And I'm just excited. We're living in incredible times, and it's not the end, but it's the beginning. So Noah? Oh, and he's going to You're going to mention the debate?
Yes.
If you buy the debate, what it is, it's I transcribed it. It's painful to transcribe. And there are sections in there, when I was debating the rabbi, he came apart. He actually went up in front of the podium, and it was in front of 300 Jews, and he said, "Forgive me for the things I said, forgive me." He went like this. Unfortunately, he produced a DVD, and that's edited out. So, and there's another point where he was asked a question, he went, "My opponent will answer it." That's edited out. So I put, when I transcribed it, there, when you come across those sections, I kind of highlight that. So even though he's edited out some parts, I still think that it gives you a real good idea of why only the Lord can be Israel's Messiah. Thank you for your time.
Well, I thought that might interest you all tonight. I won't say too much now, but if that's true, what he's saying, you can imagine where we're at now, having a Muslim, Jew-hating, Israel-hating scumbag in the office, and what he's doing openly to destroy Israel now. I think that was 2009 he did that. I agree with most of what he says, absolutely. All right. Anybody here have anything to share? Anybody in the house? All right, we got somebody coming here. We got, who is it? Seth? Seth! Oh, Seth's going to share. All right. Step right up to the mic there, my man.
Thanks, Dan. Hello, everyone. Wanted to share something that I feel is appropriate with what Dan shared. I don't know if anyone heard Obama's speech about how Israel should go back to the 1967 borders on Thursday, but I'm disgusted with our president and anyone else that tries to force Israel to give up their land and want no part with anyone that tries to do so. Our Lord and Savior was a Jew, so how can people that claim to be a Christian and at the same time be so anti-Israel? Even Hitler, trying to hide his true hate for Christians who believe Jesus was a Jew, had to make a Nazi Bible and change the fact that Jesus was a Jew so he could say these people are wrong and liars, and also that no one in Germany would be able to say, "Why are you killing the people that gave us our Savior?" I heard someone say that America is being judged for Israel, and every other nation that does so will be judged as well, and it bore witness with me. Israel was and still is God's chosen people, even if you don't like that fact, and destroying Israel is something no one should do. Instead, we should support them. It reminds me of David in 1 Samuel 24, 4 through 7, and 1 Samuel 26, 7 through 11, when David could have killed Saul, but would not raise his hand against the king since the Lord had chosen him. I would like to be David, and so I stand with Israel. Well, that's all I had to share. Thanks, and back to Dan.
Thank you, Shambo. Very good. I don't know who else. Who else got anything? Jamie, are you sitting there? You ready to step up? Jamie's here. Jamie's back for a couple weeks to help work on the dorm, the girls' dorm. So here you go.
Just wanted to say hello, everybody. I'm here for the second phase of the barn dorm edition, and I think Dan mentioned too last week that I was coming in, and as we're trying to find the will of the Lord and the timing as to when to leave this week, it kept getting delayed and delayed, and by Wednesday night, one of the things that happened that I'd like to share with everybody is our house sold in Wisconsin, and that was just wonderful news to us. It's kind of hard to keep it all in, and so God had numerous reasons for this trip, obviously to work on the barn, and we get to start looking for a place to live down here. Whether we don't know where that's going to be yet, we're waiting on the Lord, whether it be a home or an apartment or a tent or something, but wanted to share the good news with everybody and say hello, so I'll be here the next couple of weeks. Good to see everybody. God bless. Thanks.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Jamie's a blessing, a real blessing. How about anybody in the room? Any of you guys have anything to share, or Ed, or nothing? Okay. We'll have to have another open mic here sometime. Get everybody back on our mics. Which says that would be good. Okay, you want to do another? Anybody up for an open mic? Maybe next week I'm going to talk about Israel, but after next week sometime, you guys ready for an open mic again? All right, well, let's plan on that. Not next week, but the week after, we'll do an open mic. All right, here comes Mama.
Hi, everyone. Well, I wasn't sure I was going to say anything, but I guess it's a woman's right to change her mind. So I bet, listen to this message about Israel. I wanted to say that there's been a lot of talk around here this week about Israel because there's four young men here that have a desire to go to Israel, and they're checking up on different kind of tours or anything. And I know that if you have a desire in your heart to go to Israel, that's from God. And I encourage anyone with a desire to go to Israel to press in. Anyhow, I remember years ago a Bible teacher that we listened to a lot, quite a while, and he said that as we come near to the end time, the world's going to be divided into two camps, those that love Israel and those that hate Israel. And I think that's what's happening right now. I think people are being divided into two camps. And we heard some messages this week that Daniel got off of the website about Israel, about how it's very important what's happening in Israel right now. It's very important the influence that Israel has on the world right now. And it's very important that we keep our eye on Israel because God is. God has his eye on Israel. And well, there's one thing I was going to share. It was a real blessing to me this week. You know, it's kind of a saga about the bird. The bird that Cameron talked about last week. You know, it really made an impression on him, that little thing that the Lord spoke to him about while God's training him to have Aaron, to be a warrior for God, that he must also know that there's another side of God, his mercy and his gentleness. And so this little bird did come back. And you know what the Lord spoke to me about this little bird was, that cat scared him away for about 2 days. But after 2 days, the bird came back, and for about 4 days, off and on, night and day, sat on these eggs. The eggs never did hatch because I heard that if a certain time when the birds are coming forth at in the egg, that if the bird doesn't sit on them for 8 hours, if they die. So maybe that's probably what happened. But the thing the Lord spoke to me about was that little bird. It was so frightened by that cat, it almost killed it. But it still persevered and came back and sat on those eggs for about 3 or 4 days. And I thought, that little bird has more compassion and love in its heart than the thousands of women in this country who abort their babies, who snuff the very life out of those little babies. Can you imagine that that bird persevered and had more compassion and more desire to see life come forth as he persevered and came back and sat on those eggs to try and bring those eggs to life? And to think how women in this country just snuff the life out of their babies. And, you know, it reminded me of something that Daniel once told me. There was an evangelist and a preacher named A.W. Tozer. I don't know, maybe you heard of him. Daniel said he read it in one of his books that as we draw near to the end time, man's heart will grow hard and cold, and he will no longer be in the image of God, and God's love for him will cease. And you know, Scripture bears this out. Revelation tells us there's a time coming when iniquity will have come to its fullness. God will pour out his wrath. And the earth will be, multitude of the earth will be destroyed, and a multitude of people will be destroyed. And you can't do that to someone you love. So it just seems that man, it is true that God sees that man is no longer in the image of Christ, that he's becoming hard and cold. And this week, one morning, the Lord woke me up with a scripture, and I wanted to read it because it was a real blessing to me that day. It's in Malachi. I thought of this man when he said that we must recognize the destruction that's coming, but we must keep our eyes on the second coming of Christ. I thought of this scripture the Lord gave me this week. It's in Malachi 4, 1 and 2. It says, "For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch." But he says, "But unto you that fear my name," and I read this to the guys around here and I said, that's us-ins. "But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall." What a blessed, blessed promise. There's healing in his wings, and the Son of Righteousness will come. Shalom.
All right. That's a good word. Well, anybody else have anything to share? No? Okay, well, next week I'll be talking about Israel again. And the week after that, we'll have an open mic. So get prepared to bring something. Share, if you can. And thanks for coming again tonight. I guess we'll see you next week. God willing, and the river don't rise.